Today, as we come to the table,
the Bible says unless you do that, you can't enter the kingdom of God. It is only by blood and the blood of Jesus. So that's the basic gospel. But what we're looking at today is how do you make it effective? What is it that makes the gospel effective? And I've been praying that God would use, again, me today to present not only what makes the gospel effective, but it's one thing to make a presentation. If it's not really effective, that means nothing. If there's no power in what I'm sharing today, I could be the greatest orator in the world, which I'm not. I could have all my points in order, which I do. But at the same time, it wouldn't affect you any if the power of God's Spirit is not touching your life and your heart.
Pastors are part of God's design for His church. He leads men to dedicate their lives to caring for and shepherding other believers, on top of sharing the gospel with those who are lost. But sometimes we put way too much of our own responsibility as believers on the shoulders of these servants. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. As Pastor Mark will point out in today's message, the church in Thessalonica was doing very well when Paul wrote them this letter, and all without a pastor in place. It wasn't the absence of a pastor that enabled them to do so well. It was the presence of the Holy Spirit in their midst and their submission to Him. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 as he begins his message, an effective gospel.
We're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. And you might say, wow, we're only looking at one verse today. Again, we're going to be covering a lot about the gospel in this one verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 says this. Paul says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." Now again, as I said, we're looking at today an effective gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel simply means the good news. I remember as a baby Christian, and really even before I gave my life to the Lord, hearing the gospel. I'm wondering, well, what is the gospel? Well, the gospel is simply the message that Jesus Christ came to the earth as a man, that is God in human form. He lived, He went to a cross, and He died for our sins on the cross and resurrected the third day. And for all who repent, that is, turn from their sins and believe that He died for them, and they accept that sacrifice, that blood that was spilled, because the Bible says in Leviticus 17:11 that it's only by blood that sins can be taken away. If we believe in that blood that was spilled to take our sins away, we inherit eternal life, and we have our admission now into the kingdom of God. And the Bible says, unless you do that, you can't enter the kingdom of God. It is only by blood and the blood of Jesus. So that's the basic gospel, but what we're looking at today is how do you make it effective? What is it that makes the gospel effective? And I've been praying that God would use, again, me today to present not only what makes the gospel effective, but it's one thing to make a presentation. If it's not really effective, that means nothing. If there's no power in what I'm sharing today, I could be the greatest orator in the world, which I'm not. I can have all my points in order, which I do, but at the same time, it wouldn't affect you any if the power of God's Spirit is not touching your life and your heart. So that's what makes the gospel effective, is really a 1-2 punch, as we'll get into today. Now, as we've gotten into 1 Thessalonians the last few weeks or couple of weeks here, we've seen Paul encouraging and commending them on how they're doing as a brand new baby fellowship, and how well they're doing as baby believers. Now, what made this so amazing was, remember, at least initially, and we don't know how long into this fellowship they went like this, but they didn't have a pastor. Paul planted this church, again, like Paul usually did, caused a riot in the town that he was in. They ran him out of town, and there was no one there to pastor the flock. And quite obviously, Paul, having a shepherd's heart, was wondering, well, how are they going to grow? How are they going to be fed? Who's going to pastor them? Who's going to watch over them? You think of Moses' heart when God said, "Moses, I'm taking you on into the kingdom." And he said, "Lord, please give the children of Israel someone to shepherd over them." And so you need that shepherd in place And they had done this without a shepherd in place. They were a strong church. They were a thriving church. They were a growing church. And they were a church we're going to see next week that was sounding throughout the region. That is, they were reverberating in their witness and their testimony. So they were being used in amazing ways and not even having a pastor, at least for the first initial time of this church. And the church was only about 6 months old at the time that Paul wrote this. And although, you see, the point is this, although every church needs a pastor, and that's God's ultimate design, as long as God's people are teaching the Word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead, He Himself will function as the pastor until He brings one along, which is necessary, or which is when it is necessary, God is more than able to do. You see, oftentimes see churches that are interim. They don't have a pastor for a while, you know, and what are we going to do? And this kind of thing. God holds those churches together until they get a pastor, because the Holy Spirit is truly the one that makes the church alive and keeps the church together. But God, again, His design is to use a pastor, but when they're not there, the Holy Spirit will step in, be creative, will give power, and will do what needs to be done in the church. And I've watched Him do that, not just what's going on in Peru, but what's going on here in America. And so again, this is a reminder, be praying for the church in Peru. Be praying for the church of America. Be praying for the church around the globe, because it's not about Calvary Chapel Knoxville. It's about God's family. It's about God's church. And so we need to be praying for the church as a whole and allowing the Holy Spirit to move in that way for us. Now, again, remember the Holy Spirit is called the helper in Scripture, which shows He is able to help us when we need that help, especially in times like what we're going through now. So that even if we don't have a physical person, He is able to teach us, direct us, and keep us on track. And He Himself will do it. And what we're going to see today is that it was not only the teaching of God's Word that allowed them to thrive at first without a pastor, but here comes that 1-2 punch I was talking about. It was the 1-2 punch of God's Word and the Holy Spirit empowering them that kept the early church and this church and every church really on target. It's not just the teaching of the Word. I'm glad we teach the Word here. We take great pride in the fact that we teach the Word line by line, verse by verse, and it's kind of a godly pride, if you will, and that we want to be able to say the same way that Paul did, I have not shunned to declare to you the entire counsel of God's Word. And until you've taught the entire counsel of God's Word, you can't make that boast. Paul made that boast, and what we try to do at Calvary Chapel is to be able to make that boast as well, in that not just so that we can make the boast that we're teaching all the Bible, but so that the body of Christ might be complete. All of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, and we might be whole. And yet, as good as that is, and as wonderful as that is as the teaching, if there's not the power of the Holy Spirit, it'd be a well-taught, dead church. The Holy Spirit is what brings life. It is He that breathes into us, that makes us alive, that makes a fellowship alive. So you have to have, as I said, this 1-2 punch of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit bringing it to life if a church is going to be alive and effective, and if the gospel is going to be effective as well, because again, that's what makes the gospel have its power. The Word of God reveals to mankind what God's will is, and then the Holy Spirit comes in working in conjunction with the Word of God, opening eyes, softening hearts, and bringing conviction of sin that leads to repentance. Now, again, many of you probably experienced this. You're sharing with the Word with someone, the Word of God with someone, and they just seem zoned out. They're not connected at all. They're not responsive at all. And all of a sudden, you see something happen. There's a change in their eyes. There's a change in their heart. What's going on? The Holy Spirit has said, listen. They awaken them. Soften the heart, open the eyes, empower. And I encourage you, if you're sharing with someone, whether they have that glazed look or not, start praying. Even as you're sharing, pray, Lord, open their eyes. Move by the Spirit so they can understand, they can see. And God will be faithful to do that. And it's a great power of the Holy Spirit and the great power of the Holy Spirit who does that. And when we talk about the Holy Spirit, it's important to understand that He's not some kind of mysterious power. We'll talk more about the Holy Spirit next week. But He's not some kind of mysterious power out there that we can all use for our own personal purposes. The Bible tells us that He's actually a person. And that is, He is the third person of the Trinity, meaning He is indeed God and not some force that's out there that we can all simply tap into like Luke Skywalker in Star Wars. And so there's not this force you tap into, it's the power of the Spirit. You know, it's interesting. Speaking of Luke Skywalker, I had to mention this because this article I found, maybe you read this, out of Elizabethton, Tennessee. Listen to this. Here's the headline. Luke Skywalker arrested. Shows a picture of the guy in front of a lineup and all that, his height and all that stuff, the way they do when people are arrested. This from Elizabethton, Tennessee, off of WJHL News. It says, the force was not on Luke Skywalker's side when he was arrested by police this week. According to Elizabeth, can you imagine naming your son Luke Skywalker? Anyway, according to the Elizabethan police, Walker was arrested Thursday for a violation of probation. Court records show the 21-year-old from Johnson City was on probation in connection to a felony theft charge. Walker was arrested at the probation and parole office and taken to the Carter County Detention Center. And I can say this, the force was definitely with him, but it was the wrong force. It was the police force was with this particular Luke Skywalker. That's not the force that you want with you unless you're doing the right thing and they're on your side. But the bottom line is, we do need power. It's not that kind of mysterious power they make up in the movies, but there's a real power that we can tap into, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's where we take up today in verse 5 of Thessalonians. Again, if you've been with us, you know the introduction. I won't recap that for time's sake. But again, look at verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. And in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. Now again, note this, the first essential part, and that's what we're going to be looking at, the essential parts of the gospel and what makes it effective. The first essential part of the gospel that Paul mentions here is the word of God. Now again, this is absolutely foundational and essential because without the word of God, we wouldn't know what the gospel is. And that is that Jesus came and died and for our sins and resurrected, rose from the grave. That's the word of God. So we have the word of God giving us what the gospel is, but he immediately makes the point that although it is the first essential part, it cannot be the only part of the gospel to be effective. Notice he says that. It's the word of God, but he goes right into the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the message of Jesus is much more than reading the Bible or even a sermon. The true gospel or message of Jesus Christ always comes with power. And it's his word and this power together that make it effective. Now, where does this power come from? Again, this is where do we get the power again? The Bible tells us it is the Holy Spirit. And of course, we've already mentioned that. But what does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? He does numerous things. Again, we'll get into more detail next week about the working of the Holy Spirit. But for our purposes today, the first thing we're going to talk about, and really the only thing as far as what he does in this sense, is his power in our life. It's interesting, the word power here is the word dunamis, which is where we get the word dynamite. So what he's saying is the Holy Spirit, when he's involved in the gospel or any situation of a believer's life, it's dynamite. I mean, it truly is. I mean, when the Holy Spirit is involved, it's dynamite and it is indeed a blast. Now, I say that tongue in cheek, but I can truly say this. When the Holy Spirit is moving and I feel the Holy Spirit's power in my life, it's fun doing the ministry. It's always fun doing the ministry, but it becomes a really blast, you know, to pardon the pun, when you're doing ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit, because you can actually feel God moving you along. It's almost like being in a ship and all of a sudden the sails are filled up. And when the sails fill up, all you do is enjoy the ride. That's what it's like when we invite the power of the Holy Spirit to do his work and we get out of the way to do it. You know, probably the worst times I ever have or have had over the years behind the pulpit or when I've been trying to do ministry is when I have forgotten who's doing it and I've tried to do it. And so as I try to do it, I'll become frustrated and realize this is me doing this. This is failing because I'm trying to do it. And if I just back up and say, Lord, what am I doing? I'm getting back in my own flesh here. You take it. You be the leader. You by your Spirit now fill the sails and do what you want to do in my life and in the life of others as you use me. And see, that's exactly the same thing that the Lord will do with you. Go to the Lord and say, God, I don't want to do this anymore. I need your power. You fill me with your power. I want you to guide my ship, not only empower it and fill the sails so I can go somewhere, but direct it. Take the rudder. Lead me where you want me to go. And so what Paul is saying is, we didn't just tell you about Jesus. We demonstrated his power through the work of the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, validates the message. Note that. It's God's power that validates the message. You see, anyone can say they have a spiritual message from heaven, but it takes power to back it up. And that's exactly what Paul is declaring that he did with them. You know, a lot of people say they have a spiritual emphasis in their life. You know, I was listening again just this week to these different spiritual leaders they have on the radio, and they talk about a lot of the stars and famous people that have this person or that person giving them counsel, and they revere these people as these great spiritual leaders, and they have all this great insight and whatever. Here's the bottom line. If there's no power in their message, if it's just like a nice saying, but there's no real power, what good is it? And likewise, this morning, if I'm sharing with you about Jesus' death and resurrection and the fact that he loves you and the fact that he can save you from your sin and give you eternity, if there's no power backing that up, what good does it do? There has to be the power to make this thing go. Again, you think about, you know, a train, unless you have some, the old steam engines. You know, I worked at Dollywood for a while. Actually, it was at that time, it was Silver Dollar City. Some of you remember back when it was Silver Dollar City, and I worked at Silver Dollar City the year before it became Dollywood, and I was one of the actors on the train. And if you've been on that particular thing, they probably do the same thing with Dollywood now. You ride the train, and they stop the train, they have this show, and we would rob the train and do this whole thing and just be, you know, this whole amount the whole time. And I remember how amazing it was in that old, you know, coal-fired engine. You know, you're going down through there, and this thing's just like chugging along and all the smoke, you know, going out the top. If you didn't put coal in that engine, if you didn't fire that engine, if you didn't get any energy in it, that train's going nowhere and the show's over. There is no show, right? Deputy Dugan, who is who I was, well, I guess I wasn't Deputy Dugan. I was actually Skeeter and Scooter Skank when we did that. I played multiple roles. Deputy Dugan was a different one that hopefully the sheriff wouldn't be robbing the train. But you get my point. But if it wasn't for the steam running that engine, if it wasn't for the coal and the fire, there would have been no show to do. There would have been no train at Silver Dollar City, and there wouldn't be a train at Dollywood right now. There has to be something driving the engine. And so that is what the Holy Spirit is to your life as a believer. If you're nothing but a train, and even if you're on track, note this, you've got the Word of God and you're on track. If you don't have any power to push that thing down the track, what good is it? Let's say I know all the Bible. I'm an expert in theology. If there's no power behind that, who cares? It will have no effect. The coal for our steam engine as a Christian, or for our fired engine rather, as a Christian, is the Holy Spirit. That is the fire. That's what moves us down the track. And when we're filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit, not only do we move down the track, but you can recognize as we're coming. I mean, the Holy Spirit smoke, if you will, is everywhere as God is using us. And so you need to have that power in your life. And so I want to even ask you right now, I mean, as a believer, do you have that power in your life? Do you recognize that power in your life right now? Because as a believer, you should have that power. Now, let me say, if you don't have that power, it could be a couple of reasons. One is you either really never gave your life to the Lord, or you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what do I mean by that? Some people think they've given their life to the Lord because they've gone to church and they've tried to be good, but they've never really met Jesus Christ. They've never truly repented or turned from their sin and committed to Jesus. They simply went to church. You haven't made that relationship with the Lord. You're just being religious. That will not get you into heaven. But then there's the second group, and that is those who have truly given their life to the Lord, but they've never prayed and said, God, come upon me with power now. I need you to take that heavenly coal and fill my engine and set me on fire that I can move this train down the track and stay on track with power. So I would encourage you right now, if you have never seen that power in your life, first of all, challenge yourself, do I even really know the Lord? But if you know you're a believer and you know you've met the Lord, you may want to ask yourself, have I been empowered by the Holy Spirit? Again, that's one of the workings of the Spirit, is to give us power. How do you get that? Ask him, Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, come upon me with your Holy Spirit. Give me this power. And so that's something as a believer you should be seeing and should be recognizing in your life. And so if you don't, again, I encourage you today is you need to take action. You need to ask yourself, is my relationship with God real, or have I been filled with the Holy Spirit? Because if it is real, you will be filled with the Spirit as you ask God to do that, and you'll have real power in your life. I think a lot of believers really struggle in their Christian walk because they give their life to the Lord, but they continue on, sometimes for years, in the same sins over and over and over. And they, why can't I be free? Why can't I be delivered from this sin? It's because you need power. Now, I'm not giving you an excuse or giving me an excuse. I'm simply giving an explanation. You need power to be set free. And the only way that power comes is by the power of the Spirit. You cannot walk this Christian walk. You cannot do what God is asking you to do. And you certainly can't be a witness to your friends and the world around you if you're not empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's just human efforts. This is what you saw in Peter. Remember Peter, Lord, I'll follow you. I will not deny you, though everyone else does. And I know he meant it. He knew the Lord and he had a great desire to serve God, but he didn't yet have the power of the Holy Spirit. And then remember at Pentecost, when God poured out the Holy Spirit on the church, and from that point on, right there, made it available. Since then, the Holy Spirit is available to us in all the workings of the Spirit. He filled the church. He filled Peter. And here's Peter, the one that denied the Lord and was hiding from the Jewish leaders. He stands up in public in Jerusalem, where all these leaders are that want to kill him, and he shares the gospel. I don't care who's here. You need Jesus, and there's power. And you look at him, is this the same guy? Well, yes and no. He's still Peter, but now he's Peter empowered by the Holy Spirit. You need to be that. But here's what his power does. It frees us from sin. It gives us the power to share our faith with others. And the power to walk with God, note this, in actions, not just words. Okay, so notice Paul, again, he's saying, it's not just what you're saying you're doing. You actually have the power now to do it. And notice Paul says after that also that his message was with much assurance. Interesting, the word here, assurance, means supreme fullness, certainty, or confidence. And note this, it comes with the idea of conviction. And here really comes in the third element of really what I'm talking about when it comes to the power of the gospel and how it works together. And that is, the first element of it is really the word of God. The second element is the power of the Spirit that makes it effective. And the third element is the conviction, or I would say the result is the conviction that comes from that as you walk with the Lord. That is, you're convicted. And the conviction is what drives you to the Lord to get right with God. It's the result of the Word and the Holy Spirit working together in the presentation of the gospel, in its full conviction of our sin, which leads to our repentance and salvation. So this full conviction with repentance leads to a true relationship with the Lord. And again, I would ask you this, do you know that you have that today? Do you know that you have this full conviction with repentance so that you know you've met the Lord? See, this is where a lot of people, when it comes to the gospel, this is where a lot of people mess up. They stop short. Maybe they even come forward. You know, when the pastor says, if you want to give your life to the Lord, come forward, we're going to say a prayer. Maybe he says, you know, as you're in your seat, whatever the case might be, giving you an opportunity, even as we will do today. But the bottom line is that people will pray that prayer, but then they don't repent of their sin. They stop short. I don't care what prayer you pray. If you don't turn from your sin, you will not be saved.
The New Testament letters of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians are good reminders that people in the past had the same concerns as many might have today. There can be an uncertainty of what's to come, and when everyone starts to speculate, it gets tricky to discern what's true and what's not. If you're finding yourself becoming stagnant in your faith, this book is like drinking some fresh water, as it brings about the right perspective on Christ's return and what that means for those who are followers of Jesus. If you aren't familiar with this kind of faith and are wondering what it means to become a follower of Jesus, don't hesitate to ask us any questions. You can connect at thewaymedia.net by clicking on the Come to the Table section, or give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that number is 865-609-1385. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come to get to know us at Calvary Knoxville. We meet every Sunday and we'd be excited to hear your story. Simply go to thewaymedia.net and find the Calvary Knoxville link to get service times and directions. If these teachings have been helpful for you and you'd like to hear more from this series and the letters to the Thessalonians, we encourage you to find them on thewaymedia.net. We'd be happy to have you join us for our next edition. Keep reading through God's Word until we again come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.